Broadcasting the boisterous part of the fastest game in the world. So strap on your lids and lace them up, Rook. You're listening to the Barn Chirpers Hockey Podcast. Take a lap.
Yeah.
Clap it up, boys. Clap it up. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week to the Barn Chirpers, because that's who we are. You can follow us on the Instagram and the threads at Barn Chirpers Pod. If you're watching on YouTube, hey, what's up? It's the Gear Freaks YouTube channel, right? Right, Justin? Gear
Freaks? Well, both of them. Like, we have our own.
Oh, we do have our own now. Okay, perfect. Yeah. So you can go on YouTube and watch us right now, see our pretty faces at Barn Chirpers Pod. You can find the Barn Chirpers Hockey Podcast everywhere. You know, do the like and do the subscribe thing and do the share thing. We really, truly appreciate it. And listen, we got a stacked show because we're going to go through the barn tour that I just got back from. We're going to talk a little, a couple of stars, maybe not three, maybe it's 12. Who knows? We're just doing this live. We haven't even talked about what we're going to do. But also a very, there's actually a jersey reveal today as well. So there's that. But we're going to get to that in a little bit because I want to let everybody know that we have a sponsor, Justin. And that sponsor is a great sponsor. And this sponsor is going to help you and me and everybody around the world, whether you're in Virginia Beach or around the world, get in the best shape of your life. And that's the Hard Work Works Fitness app. Head over to your app store, whether you're on the Android or you're on the Apple, and search Hard Work Works Fitness. Download that app, baby. And listen, you get a special code. You get a special discount. If you use the code CHIRP at checkout, this goes for all the pre-designed programs. Maybe you're just getting started in your fitness journey. And maybe you have a full gym, or maybe you have a home gym, or maybe you don't have any gym at all and you just have your body weight. Well, guess what? There's a program for you to do. And guess what? Maybe you're further on in your fitness journey. Maybe you have a full gym, a home gym, or maybe no gym at all again. Guess what? The Better, Faster, Stronger program is for you if you're trying to increase your athletic performance. Hey, maybe you want to grow your booty. That's the thing nowadays, right? Get a bigger butt, a nicer, shapelier? Did I just make that word up? I sure did. Maybe you want to get a bigger, nicer butt. Well, the thick program is for you. And if you use the code CHIRP at checkout, you can get 10% off any of those pre-designed programs. And that's not all. But wait, there's more. You're going to get a nutrition guide in that Hard Work Works Fitness app. You could also, if you just want to pay the $10 a month, you can get access to 200 plus workouts. Again, full gym. No problem, baby. No problem. That's no just $10 problem. A month. But if you want a pre-designed program, get 10% off using the code CHIRP. And again, just go and download the Hard Work Works Fitness app and get in better shape of your life. Decide, commit, succeed, and join the hustle today. And Justin, listen, somebody that has been working hard has been Chris Chelios. I guess he's been retired for a while. My point is, I just got back from the 2024 Barn Tour, and I want to start in reverse order because, first of all, Sunday in United Center, Chris Chelios' retirement ceremony, there was so many people there. It was insane. They had a little pre-ceremony. The ceremony actually started at 3, but the doors opened at 1. And in the atrium, one of the atriums that they have there at United Center, they probably easily had 2,500 people in there. It was so full. There were so many people. And I was like, oh, I got to get out of here. There's way too many people. But they had a little Q&A session. Jeremy Roenick, Dennis Savard. Who else was doing that? I forget everybody that was doing the little pregame Q&A, but that was cool. And then the ceremony started. And again, so many stars were there. Cindy Crawford was there. Dennis Rodman was there. Who else? Eddie Vedder was there. Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier. The list goes on and on and on. There were so many people there. But the ceremony was so cool. Seeing the banner get lifted up to the rafters. And also I got a little banner myself. Nice.
Very cool.
That was because I was one of the first 10,000 people to enter the arena. So again, am I a Blackhawks fan? No, I'm not. But I did watch Chris Chelios growing up, so this was a really cool moment to see him have his jersey lifted to the rafters. And his speech was really good. Yeah, man, that was really, really cool. So let's get into it. Let's get into this. I'm gonna start with Chicago since we're already on there, and work my way backwards. So,
all right.
I have a feeling that you were gonna ask me what my expectations were going into it. I imagine that was gonna be a Justin question. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, very curious.
I don't want to steal your thunder, but this just. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to steal your bit. First of all, here's a little pro tip. If you're going to a big city like Chicago, if you're have somewhere to park, or just know that you're going to pay a lot of money to valet park your car for 2 days, just know that in general. Number two, if you go to a restaurant and they ask you tap, bottled, or sparkling, just know that everything other than tap is going to cost money. It's not free or complimentary, but so never mind how they position the question. Just know that anything other than tap is going to cost you at least 10 bucks. I learned these lessons the hard way this weekend, but anyway. Okay.
He's so pretty.
So pretty. But I'll say this, my expectations going into United Center and going to Chicago, I expected, you know, there's a lot of history in that building. So many championships have been won between the Blackhawks and the Chicago Bulls. So much history going on there. So I really expected like a full-fledged jump into history, right? That's what I was expecting the biggest thing. I expected Chicago, that arena has been around for a very long time. Again, the heritage in that arena. And it's been United Center since I can, like my whole life. I don't think it's ever changed its name. In a world where sponsors change all the time these days, at least like every 5 years, right? It's been United Center since I can remember. So
for sure.
That in itself is pretty cool. So again, my expectations going in were like really high, really, really high. And I'll obviously we're going in reverse order. My expectations were even higher, maybe unfairly even because of recency bias from just being in Detroit and Columbus the day before. So I was really trying to keep my bias out of it. But let's go ahead and get into the tour. And if you don't know, which you may not, because you haven't looked at the past episodes that we have, I have rated the Barns on six categories. Outside, accessibility, inside, history, food, and the community. So you could have up to 30 points available. So first thing, Chicago, United Center. On the outside, there were banners everywhere walking up to the United Center from probably about a mile and a half back. You could see the banners on the light poles, whether it was Blackhawks players or it was current Chicago Bulls players. But there were banners up. So, you know, you knew that you were on your way to go see a game, essentially, right? You also had the Chicago Bulls practice facility on the way up to United Center. So it was kind of like I got really hyped up as I'm walking to the United Center. This doesn't play into really any of the categories, but there is an old dive bar down the street from United Center called Billy Goat's Tavern. So we went there for a pregame meal, and that place is just – it's a Blackhawks Bulls like bar. I assume that after every game and before every game, like that's where everybody goes because, well, we were there before the game and there was everybody was wearing a sweater.
Everyone was there. Everyone
was there. So that was pretty cool. So again, outside banners on light poles, there were two statues out front for Bobby Hull, which was cool. And they had like, it was Bobby Hull, and then it had some of his stats, and like when he won his rings and what have you. So that was cool. The outside was very, very clean, but other than the banners on the light poles, I didn't see any like Blackhawks branding. There was no like Blackhawk logo. There wasn't a marquee that I saw that was maybe digital or anything like that. So for me, I could have definitely used a little bit more Hawks branding. Like, again, maybe my recency bias brought this down a little bit, but I mean, that's where they play. Like, just because you know that they play there, you should let me know that they play there, right?
Yeah.
So I gave that a 3 out of 5 on the outside.
Okay. So before we move on to your next one. Mm-hmm. Oh, my connection is unstable. Cool. Do you think that is, you know, related to, well, never mind. I would guess that the recency by the Blackhawks have been better than the Bulls in more recent history. So that doesn't make any sense. But do you think it has something to do with the deemed racist branding of the Blackhawks? Do you think that's part of it?
Yeah, I didn't think about that. It very well could be. But hey, if you know, if you've ever been to a United Center in the most recent years, let us know. Chirp at us at Barn Chirpers Pod. Let us know if there used to be more branding of the Blackhawks on the United Center walls. Because yeah, I didn't think about that. It's very possible that because you know, we've seen other teams change their name because of, you know, it just doesn't fit anymore, right? So maybe they did. And being that Chicago is an original six team, we know that, and not that I necessarily think that they need to change their name, because I don't, but I also don't think that would ever happen anyway, because they're an original team in the NHL. So maybe that is the case, that they took things down on the outside, so it's not, you know, blatantly in your face if anybody, you know, doesn't like that, I guess I will say.
Yeah. Just curious.
So yeah, that's a great question. I hadn't really thought about that. Still doesn't change my score. 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
So the accessibility to the stadium, listen, this was, I mean, it was actually pretty easy the entire weekend, to get to the arena, each barn, stadium parking lots, all over the place at United Center, right at the United Center, massive lot. There were also, lots around the area, but even better than that, you could take the subway or the L train to about a half a mile away from the arena. And that's what we did. Actually, we took subway to the L train, and then walked maybe a half a mile to get to the, arena. So super easy to access. And like I said, parking is right there, whether you're doing the big massive lot at the arena, or if you're doing one of the side parking lots at the arena. So this gets a perfect 5 out of 5 for me, because again, the last thing that I want to do is drive around and try to find somewhere to park, or, you know, is this the right parking lot, or if I have to end up paying more, something like that. So perfect 5 out of 5 for accessibility to get to the United Center. I will say this too. Another reason why I felt really confident giving accessibility 5 out of 5, going into the thought of riding the subway or the L train, because I've never done either, made me a little bit apprehensive. Like, oh boy, how's this going to go? What kind of characters am I going to find on the subway and the L train? Right. It was fine. It was perfectly fine. Like, no issues. There wasn't any, you know, interesting in a bad way people on either, in the waiting area. It was perfect. So 5 out of 5.
Nice.
Moving on to the inside. Listen, this place is just a massive, massive arena. I just told you about the atrium. One of the atriums easily had 2,500 people in it. Easily. It's right in that first entryway. I guess it's the east entrance, or maybe it's the north entrance. I forget. But you have a massive Michael Jordan statue in the middle. They put a Blackhawks Chelios jersey on him for the day, which is pretty cool. But the arena itself holds 23,500 people. So again, when I said in the atrium, like 2,500 people for that meet or for that Q&A, so many people, but it was still like this massive, massive arena. When you walk inside, so it's like the atrium, and then you actually walk into the arena. So it's a whole separate thing, right? And that large atrium is for special events. And then you can walk upstairs, and there's upstairs dining and bars up there too. And then that also leads up to some of the press boxes, like the governor's room. Again, just massive, massive arena. Inside, dude, there are so many restaurants, like, and eateries from a knockoff Chelly's Chili spot, because he used to have Chelly's Chili in Chicago. They have a little gimmick area for that inside. Every dang restaurant you could think of, there's literally too many to name. So this inside part and food are going to kind of go hand in hand. You got steakhouses, you got tacos, you got barbecue, you got gourmet chicken, and then of course Chelly's Chili. So when I say massive, that's like the 10th time I've said it now. I mean massive. Like, and with all those people, even though it was a little bit difficult maneuvering around people, it wasn't like, if you remember when I talked about Tampa Bay, how it was very crammed, like the walkways weren't very wide. The walkways are massive on all three floors in United Center. There was just, again, so many people there. But the inside gets a 5 out of 5 for me as well. I really enjoyed just how massive the arena was. And I kind of already touched on it, the inside and the food going hand in hand. Like I said, too many to name. You have your classic arena food. You have like, I'm putting up my nose right now if you're watching on YouTube, very uppity seeming steakhouses inside the arena, walking tacos, whatever that means, but tacos, barbecue, gourmet chicken, and Chelly's Chili. 5 out of 5 for the food. Just again, anything you ever wanted was seemingly inside the arena there. So 5 out of 5 for the food as well. Just a score update. That brings us to about, 5, 10, 15, 18 points out of a possible 20 right now.
So okay. just since you gave the update, just to let people know, right now, without any of the other categories, this barn is already ahead of Cap 1.
Yes, 100%. 100%. And again, I'm a Capitals fan, but that barn sucks. It truly does. It sucks. Okay. So, this one, I'm going to move to history now. And listen, inside the actual arena, like looking at the ice, there is an insane amount of banners in that building. It is legitimately unreal. When I say unreal, like as a sports fan, to see how many championships, whether it be league championships or division championships, from the Bulls to and the Blackhawks, it literally takes up almost the entire arena. Not only that, your retired jerseys in the rafters too. It is so cool and kind of gave me goosebumps when I walked in there, like, oh my God, like the amount of history, right? And which is why the category is history. But like I said, the amount of banners in that building is unreal. All of the ships won there, as well as retired player jerseys, it was amazing. On the first floor, they had a Bulls display case with all 6 championships that they have won. That was really cool. But here's the thing. There was no Stanley Cup display case for all of the championships that the Blackhawks have won. Not present. And I walked around the first floor, the second floor, and the third floor at least 3 times, and I did not see a Stanley Cup display case. And if this is the case where, much like Cap 1, that is on the second, like, or the press box, or excuse me, the you know what I'm talking about, the like the place that you can't get to unless you have the ticket, the VIP area, right? Mm-hmm. That floor, that's boxes and whatnot. If that's the case, I hate that. I should be, mm-hmm. If I can see the Bulls 6 championships, why can't I see the Hawks? I mean, I did put this into perspective with history. Like, again, there is multiple statues inside of Bobby Hull. I want to say not Phil Esposito, but hold on 1 second. I got to look back in my pictures, just stall for time here. Stalling. we're stalling still. Where is my Chicago pictures? What's going on here?
What's going on?
Dang. What's going on here? Yeah, Bobby Hull. Dang, dude. What's the other guy? I apologize. This is fodder that I'm just can't figure out. They did have a big display area for like the whole Chelios thing, but there was no, I guess I didn't take a picture of it. But there was two statues on the inside, like I said, Bobby Hull, and I'm forgetting the other player right now. It'll come back to me, I'm sure, at some point. But again, no Stanley Cup display case, and that really brought the score down for me, 3 out of 5 for history, because you have to have a display case. You have to have a display case talking about all the history of the Blackhawks championships. Like, and you got to have it out in the open. So to me, while I gave like food in the inside 5 out of 5, and there were so many restaurants, you could have easily taken out one of those restaurants and had a massive display case or a massive like history area. And I will put a pin in this, that there is some recency bias that went into this, considering the previous two arenas that I went to 2 days before. But again, we're going in reverse order because we were already talking about Chicago. So 3 out of 5 for the history. I was not impressed with the lack of display case.
So can I ask you this then, like when it comes to, cause again, this happened at Cap One as well. Does it feel like, cause this is how it felt to me when there isn't one at a Stanley Cup display, it feels like they're ashamed. You know what I mean? Like, they can't be but so much ashamed because there's Blackhawks stuff everywhere, but like, it's a championship. Like, why wouldn't you want to show that off? I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, again, going back to, you know, the three most recent, as we know, kind of took place in that era of which is why we've had such a problem with the Blackhawks organization recently, right? Those, the 15, 13, 10, 13, and 15. But even still, man, like, yeah, I guess it kind of maybe is a little bit hypocritical to say you can't erase history because we've dogged on the Blackhawks for what happened in that organization. And now I'm talking about the barn tour and saying that I need to have a display case and I want to see those championships. So maybe that's a little bit hypocritical. I'm trying to see through that. I don't know. So I understand what you're saying, and maybe that is the case. Again, though, like, I feel like you have to own it. You have to own it across the board. You have those championships, own it. This is a whole other thing besides the barn tour that we're talking about, but I guess I'd say you have those championships, you have to own it. You also have to own what happened in this organization during those years. But if you've been to United Center beforehand and they had a display case, please let us know at Barn Trippers Pod, because I would love to know. But yeah, I guess that's all I can really say about that at this point. But yeah, 3 out of 5 for the history there. So moving on, the last category is community. And again, just to give an insight on community, I always just look at community of, is there a lot of representation from the fans? Did they show up to the arena? Are they cheering? Are they booing? Are they, you know, making chants? Are they all that stuff that you would think of when I say community? The game, honestly, Sunday night game was probably, I will say, the best game that I watched all weekend, truly. You're going to laugh at this. Mrazek and Reimer were, like, amazing. It was too, like, this game, they were saving everything, making huge saves. Like, Mrazek and Reimer, you don't think that those two guys are going to make massive saves and, like, control the game, but they did. And the Blackhawks were actually up 2-1 for halfway through the second until about 4 minutes left in the third. I got to see Bedard snipe a shot, which later ended up being Foligno's goal because I guess he tipped it, but I got to see Bedard snipe a shot. And then I got to see Kaner to DeBrincat again for the game tying goal. And then, buddy, it couldn't happen any other way. In overtime, Patty Kane on a breakaway scores the game-winning goal, top shelf for Grandma Keeps the Cookies. And you know, he's Showtime for a reason. And like, I give props to the crowd in United Center because they not only cheered, it was a massive cheer when Patty Kane scored the game-winning goal. So the Hawks lose, but literally everybody cheered because we got to see Patty Kane on a breakaway in overtime, right? Same thing when they did his tribute. He did about three curtain calls because everybody was cheering so loud. That was really cool to see. And then the barn was absolutely full. There might have been one or two seats empty, but they very well could have been out getting food and stuff or, you know, whatever. But the barn was full. It was loud the entire game. From the drop of the puck, even before drop of the puck, till the end of the game, a dueling Let's Go Blackhawks or Let's Go Red Wings, Detroit sucks chants. That was hilarious. The amount of love for Patty Kane, even after a game-winning goal. So community gets 5 out of 5. So that brings our total score for United Center to 26 out of 30 possible points.
Not bad. Again, like for positioning purposes, that puts it tied with PPG.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty accurate, I would say. Pretty accurate. And, you know, I kind of looked at that with community as like, okay, it's Chicago. Like it should get a 5 out of 5. So yeah. I essentially went into that, like, okay, either prove me wrong or prove me right. And they proved me right. So again, it's Chicago. So it should have gotten a 5 out of 5.
Okay. Good hockey panel.
And again, easily the best game that I saw, just the amount of the competitiveness, the chanting was fun. And then I got to see Patty Kane with a game-winning goal. Like, I wasn't even really a Patty Kane fan, but after seeing him 2 days in a row live, I mean, I kind of am at this point. Like, what he's supposed to do. He did what he's supposed to do. You know what I mean?
What am I doing?
Okay,
that's why they pay him the bucks.
That's why they pay him the bucks. Superstar money. Well, he's not making superstar money anymore, but he does what a superstar is supposed to do. Also, just a side note, he has. Better than point per game production this year. 30 points in 28 games played. So,
wow,
superstar. Anyway, yeah. We already knew that. Okay. Man, this has taken a long time. Hopefully it's interesting though. So like I said, we're going backwards. So moving on to Saturday in Detroit, Little Caesars Arena. Going right into it here on the outside. So Little Caesars is right in downtown. So there isn't necessarily like I almost should do Columbus. Okay. That's okay. This will make sense when we get to Columbus, but so, Little Caesars is right in downtown. So there isn't necessarily like a district, and that'll make sense when I talk about Columbus. But if you've ever been to Cap One, that's like the district, right? So there's a lot of stuff around. And so Little Caesars doesn't necessarily have a district, but the entire building has sports bars and restaurants around it if you want a pregame. Same thing, though. I didn't really see anything that was Red Wings branding. And I say that because, like, I suppose you know where the Red Wings and the Pistons play. It's at Little Caesars. But what got me is when you're walking to Little Caesars, you walk by Ford Field, or you can see Ford Field in the distance. You can see the Lions logo from a mile away on Ford Field because it's wide open. You can walk a little bit more and you see Comerica Park, and there's Tigers branding everywhere. You see the statues out front. You know that's where the Tigers play. So in a way, like, yeah, okay, I guess you know that the Red Wings and the Pistons play here at Little Caesars. But again, I would love to see a logo, even a digital. They had a digital board, but it didn't have any Red Wings logos. And again, maybe I missed it. It's very possible. If you know, please chirp at us at Barn Chirpers Pod. But I didn't see anything like that. But so the outside gets a 4 out of 5 for me. Also, I don't regret anything really in my life, but I do regret not ever getting to Joe Louis Arena before they turned it down or tore it down. I feel like that probably was top tier. So if you've ever been to Joe Louis, chirp at us at Barn Chirpers Pod. Okay. Moving on to accessibility. Oh, buddy. This was also number two easiest to get to. Accessibility was easy from the interstate. Pretty good parking around between. There's a lot of lots. However, there's a lot of lots and garages. However, money is probably going to get you, because I paid $60 to park, which is insane. But and it just is from County of Detroit, and taxes and fees, right? So I paid a lot to park, which sucks. But I mean, that doesn't denote the accessibility. It's still easy to get there. Traffic was not bad for me on a Saturday getting there before 12. We got there about 11. Traffic wasn't bad. Again, the parking lot was easy to find. Even in the city, like Chicago has a lot of traffic. Yeah. Obviously, like I said, we took the subway and the L train in Chicago. Detroit didn't really have any traffic really even going into downtown. So that was a plus. And that was for a matinee game. So I would be curious to see what it's like after the work rush, though. If it was like a 7 p.m., 7:30 game, I would be curious for that. But accessibility gets a 5 out of 5 for me. The inside at Little Caesars, top tier. When I say top tier, I mean top tier. Everything is inside. The district is inside Little Caesars Arena. It is so massive. And again, if we're talking about bars and restaurants, it's all there on the inside, which is cool. And then you also have a lot of just banners and stuff, not only from player banners, but some history things that are hanging up on the sides too. So that was really cool. The walkways are super wide. Like just you can fit a ton of people in there and not get crammed. And we didn't get crammed really at all. Also with that same like district feel, excuse me, you had like the thing that they did with branding is really brand Little Caesars, because everything looked like the pizza ovens. If you've ever been to Little Caesars to get like a pre-made pizza, right? It just, it had the same thing, like opening up the little window gimmick that was just everywhere. And then to get to your section, they just called them portals. So portal 1 to 30 for sections here and here, they had that branding. So that was a kind of a cool little thing of like, okay, if you want to talk about branding, that's what we're branding here. So the inside gets 5 out of 5. Moving on to the food, some not so typical options. There was a local brewery inside of Little Caesars. There was a tequila shop, which I had never seen before, a tequila Patron, its own little gimmick there. This chicken called Coop Chicken, which I guess is local to Detroit, allegedly. And then there was a gelato stand. So those were very new things that I had not seen before. So I gave the food a 4 out of 5. History. So there was a lot of display cases and statues inside. Howe, Kelly, Del Vecchio, those are all statues with their stats. And I forget exactly, I gotta look back at my pictures again, but they called it was like the performance line. Production line, the production line. Those guys in Detroit. So they had all their stats and just this whole write-up about that. And that was really cool. They also had like this pop-up stand for all of the African-American Detroit Red Wings that have played. So that was a whole Black History Month display, which was really cool. They had a whole line of like sewer caps. So, you know, they had the player name, the number. So like Paul Coffey, Steve Yzerman, Konstantinov, Osgood, just all the way around the first floor of the arena, which was also really cool. Again, ton of display cases. And what was the really, really, really cool thing? To save space, they had multiple interactive like computer boards. So you could go up to there and you could look at this Stanley Cup playoffs of 19 whatever and look at the stats of that. You could look up past players and go through that and click around. So that was the coolest thing that I saw. And again, to go back to Chicago, when I saw this the second day of my trip, a little bit of recency bias kind of went into that when I went to United Center. I'm like, Detroit had all these interactive video boards and they've been around just as long as you have, Chicago. So that's when I was saying, like, it kind of brought it down a little bit for me. Like Little Caesars went top tier in that arena. Another cool thing, when initially I walked into ice level, I didn't see any banners. I was like, how do you not have any banners in here? What is going on? Well, I'll tell you what. They are retractable banners, Justin. When the Red Wings hit the ice, the banners all come down, which was chef's kiss. I loved that. Like, whoa. As the countdown is happening and they're about to take the ice, the banners start to come down. And I was, dude, that was the coolest thing. So if you didn't know, history gets 5 out of 5 for the Little Caesars Arena. I mean, just absolutely top tier, my friend. I loved that. So current score is 5, 10, 15, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 possible, 23 out of, I guess, 25 possible points right now. So moving on to the last thing, community. I mean, need I really explain it? It's Detroit. They yeah. love the Red Wings there. Sweaters everywhere, from current players to like 90s players to beginning players. There was Gordie Howe sweaters. There was Ted Lindsay sweaters. It was amazing. There's so much merch happening right there. They were loud. They were chanting, going wild. I mean, in this specific case, it didn't hurt that the Wings put 3 in the net on Binner in the first 5 minutes of the game. Kaner to DeBrincat twice in 5 minutes. That didn't hurt either. So at that point, it was 5 out of 5. But I'll tell you what, Justin, they lost a couple points here for me, and I'll tell you why. Uh-oh. On a Saturday matinee game at 12 o'clock, for a Wings team that at that point had won 3 straight and they're in the wild card spot, a pretty dang good Red Wings team, I am not impressed with how many empty seats there were. There was so many empty seats in Little Caesars. And I'm not saying that to the point where it looked empty. It was just more so I look around and I see big gaps of rows missing. Even in my section that I was sitting, there was a whole row that was just empty. And could that have been that they were out doing something else in the arena? Yeah, it very well could have. But what I would love to know what you do for work, because I'm not going to use my hard-earned money to not watch the game. So yeah. please let me know what if you like to buy tickets to a game and not watch it. Please chirp at us at Barn Chirper Spot. I would love to know what you do for work, because clearly I'm in the wrong business. So they lost a point for me for that. Also, so we were at 4 out of 5, but I docked them another point because of this. Now, listen, a massive Jared Goff chant broke out at Little Caesars Arena. And hey, listen, I'm a Lions fan, right? I'm used to heartbreak and I love heartbreak. And hey, great, Jared Goff, dang good quarterback. The reason why I docked a point for this, why don't you cheer for a guy that's on the ice? Like maybe a Patty Kane chant. Or Alex Lyon played out of his mind in this game, even though they were up 6-1. Lyon made some outstanding saves that kept them in that 6-1 win, right? Maybe chant for that guy that's on the ice. Maybe a kitty cat chant. I don't know. How about a guy that's playing in the game? So maybe that's like being real critical, but I don't know, dude. Like, if I'm going to a game, I'm not going to chant for somebody that's not on the ice. You know what I mean? That's just me. Also, after the Wings put up the 6th goal in the second period, I want to say, a lot of people started leaving. And listen, you're going to lose points to me because I look at that like, well, you're not an actual hockey fan. Whether your team is getting their doors beaten off or they are putting up 37 on the board, you stay till the end. I don't care who. Yeah. Again, I would love to know what you do for work, because I'm not going to pay money to watch a game and then leave early. Same thing with a concert. I will not pay money for a concert or a game to leave early. You just lose points for me on that. So Little Caesars, Detroit Red Wings get a 26 out of 30 tie and tied with Pittsburgh, I suppose.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, moving on to the main event. And I say that not tongue-in-cheek, but I truly believe this. Justin, we both wanted a reason to visit Columbus, or why Columbus has a team. I absolutely love Columbus and Nationwide Arena. Before even getting in speaking about the arena, when we got to Columbus, like the city just feels like such a big city vibe without being a big city vibe. And I say that like you go to downtown area. Again, it just has that vibe, but traffic is light. And here's something that was really cool to me. And this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with hockey, but as a city itself, Columbus is so inclusive. There were like, I kind of don't like bringing this specific thing up, but like religion, but there was a God loves you. So many banners that were the pride flag. And it said, God loves you and love is love. And there were so many pride flags throughout this entire city. I loved how inclusive it felt in Columbus. You know what I mean? And I'm talking about even churches had that. Churches, Justin. And we don't have to get into that because that has nothing to do with hockey and a hockey podcast. But seeing that, I was like, holy crap, man. Columbus is such a progressive city. And I have a client, actually. She helped design Nationwide Arena, and we'll get to that. And she told me that she's doing another project, something with the water system there in Columbus. But they are jumping to this project early because Columbus consistently has a 30% population increase yearly. 30%. So, like, I'm just kind of blown away. I was not expecting that from Columbus. But I absolutely love Columbus. I will definitely be going back there. That's the first thing before we even get into the hockey. Yeah, man. Just a great city. Honestly, a great city. So let's move on to the arena. That's why we're here. Nationwide Arena, Justin. On the outside, such a great atmosphere. This place is a district. When I say a district, like you walk up and there is everything around it. Bars, restaurants, a whole kind of little bridge walkway over, I don't think it's the interstate, but a very busy road in Columbus. Again, you walk over this little bridge near Nationwide. And again, there's more bars, there's shops, and there's just people all over wearing sweaters, all over the place. So the atmosphere was huge. Like I said, from a ton of restaurant and bars in the arena district, there's pictures on the arena sides of players. I think I sent it to the group chat, but there's like a Columbus home sign right next to the arena. That was really cool. And that overlooked what it said, arena district, in right next to the arena there. So, dude, and then just another big logo where it said the arena district. And then the logo was massive with player signs on the arena face too. So 5 out of 5 on the outside. Already off to a great start on the outside there. Oh, I didn't know if you were going to say something. No. So anyway, so, okay. Moving to accessibility, super easy to get to. Like this is, I know I said Little Caesars was easy to get to, but getting to Nationwide was probably the easiest experience that I've had. Real quick, right off the interstate, it seemed to have plenty of garages to park within 2 to 5 minute walk of the arena. I ended up being able to find through the Park Mobile app, and I prepaid ahead of time, and I only paid $15 for a full 24 hours. So that was a solid start to the weekend as well. And then same thing within walking distance, there's a whole bunch of places to go to get a pregame meal. So solid for accessibility, 5 out of 5 there for that. Moving on to the inside. I'll tell you something I wasn't expecting. How about this, Justin? A live band at one end of Nationwide Arena on the inside. A DJ at the other end of the arena on the inside. A whole entire fan zone that you can go into that overlooks the practice rink that had a practice going on. I'm not sure if it was high school or like, I don't think it was ECHL or AHL guys. They looked probably about in their 20s, but you could overlook the practice rink there, or again, the Jackets practice there. So you could watch that as well. The walkways were massive, just absolutely massive, double the size that I was talking about maybe not doubles, probably not correct, but it was massive. And there were a lot of people in that arena too. So easy to walk through. There was also a lot of cool memorabilia with the, a full, remember in Florida when we, or you weren't there. Do you remember that picture when I showed you all the past like jerseys and whatnot that Florida had?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the jackets inside of Nationwide had that on the wall of all the past state hockey champs of Ohio. So that was really cool to see all these state high school sweaters. You also had three little stations of little mini hockey, the old school, like it's foosball, but hockey. So that was cool. Nice. So a lot of fun things. I lost count of how many like picture ops there were. You know, you could walk up a little stand and put your head on, you know, a player. So you could be a Columbus Blue Jackets player. There was like the photo gimmick of my first Columbus Blue Jackets game. Just such a fun vibe inside. So you get a 5 out of 5 for me for that. I mean, I was, again, going into this one, my expectations were low. So does some of that play into it? Sure, it does. But everything I'm saying right now, I think for anybody going to Columbus would be like, wow, this is pretty cool. So again, 5 out of 5 for that. Moving on to food. They had an authentic German food stand. They had rice bowls and sake stand. They had a street tacos stand. They had a whole bourbon selection stand. If you're a bourbon partaker, they also had this vodka water stand. They had barbecue. And not only that, they had a Timmy Hortons stand inside Nationwide Arena, which is usually a Canadian thing, if you guys don't know. But yeah, they had a Timmy Hortons thing. So how could I not give a 5 out of 5 for the food? Like, how could I not? Truly.
Wow.
There was so many options. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we currently have 20 out of a possible 30 right now, Justin, by the way.
That's crazy.
moving on to history. So, okay. Columbus doesn't have a lot of history to celebrate. Right. They've only won one playoff round in their existence. But although they don't have a lot to celebrate, they have an entire glass enclosed case talking about their former owner, John H. McCallan, and how he wanted to start a hockey team, how he began the Blue Jackets. And like this, I would say probably I'm bad at math and like, but it was probably at least 6 feet long of this big display case talking about this guy. They also have a huge display case noting all of their firsts. So first goal scored, first game played, Rick Nash kind of tribute for the Calder Trophy. Just like they made such an effort to at least give you something, right? And I talk about that why, again, maybe there was some recency bias when I got to Chicago. Excuse me. But if a team like Columbus that hasn't done anything in their entire existence can put effort into something like this, I look at Chicago, I'm like, come on, guys, really?
Do something.
Really? So, yeah, man, history, it gets a 5 out of 5. We're at 25 out of 30 right now.
Wow.
We're at 25 out of 30. Moving on to the last thing, community. There were so many Blue Jacket sweaters. So many. I was wearing my Sabres sweater, my Tager, but I mean, that's because I didn't have a Columbus Blue Jackets sweater at that point. Right. So I had brought my Sabres sweater, but there was guys, you had your Rick Nashes, you had Panarins, you had Bobrovskis, you had Rick Nash, if I didn't already say that, you had some Razzle Dazzle Kent Johnson, you had a bunch of Boone Jenner jerseys, which I didn't get, but Marchenko jerseys, Marchenko's, the list goes on and on. Like, it was such a cool vibe to see so many sweaters. They call them the fifth line, and they really were. They were loud. They were engaged in the game. Speaking of, Daniel Tarasov has finally come back. He was outstanding, Justin. Like, I think they lost the game 2-1, but I want to say he had like 40 saves, wow, somewhere around there. And he was standing on his head. Like, Dude, I hope I haven't paid much attention, but I hope they gave him back his starting job because he is moons better than Merzlikins, and he wants to get Merzlikins wants to get out of there anyway. So like, I hope they gave Tarasov his job back because that guy kept them in the game because, you know, like their scorers are Marchenko, Voronkov, and there's one other that I'm missing right now. But they don't have a lot of guys that can score. They really don't. Like, that's kind of where the Jackets are lacking. Chinakov, that's what I said. Of course, Fantilli, but he's out with a calf laceration. So they got the first goal, and the Buffalo tied it up. And then the second goal, actually, Tarasov got in front of it, but it went off his left shoulder and then trickled into the net. So, like, it was kind of not even a crap goal, but, like, that sucks. But it wasn't like – yeah, it was just completely puck luck. And they just didn't have – at the end of the game, they had an empty net for about probably 4 minutes. And they did – they were buzzing. The Blue Jackets were buzzing. And so I love to see that. The crowd was into it. Almost a full barn. Again, maybe a little bit of recency bias, but I gave a little bit of leeway because it was a Friday night. But when I say almost full, like 98% full in the barn there. There was only a few seats here and there throughout the arena that were empty. So the community showed up. And then again, the team were buzzing. They really tried. They really, really tried. And there were so – yeah, there were so many opportunities that they could have scored. They just couldn't get it done. But anyway, the point here is community, and truly this crowd loves this team. And I mean, you look at the standings, you look at the history, like, do they really, should they? Probably not, but they do. Like, they love this team. So Justin, this is the first ever. This is a perfect score. 30 out of 30 for Columbus and Nationwide Arena. And I am not ashamed to say that because I truly loved my time in Columbus. 10 out of 10, I would go back. I loved this arena and loved Columbus. And this was my first night too.
Yeah. So before we move on, this is the critical one. Like, yeah, I'm jealous you went to United. I'm jealous you went to Little Caesars, but Nationwide's the one that I wanted to go to for the same reasons we went to Bridgestone. I know, you know, repetition. I've said it a million times on this program. I said it last week. But to hear such a glowing review of the place that I wanted to go to makes me really jealous that I didn't get to go. But also, like, I want to go. Like, I really want to go now. And it's not the reasons I went to Nashville anymore. Now it's I want to go because I want to experience that, as opposed to I want to prove my own self wrong. So it makes me really happy to see a 30 of 30 for Nationwide. It really does.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'll definitely go back there with you 100%. I will make another trip, even though my barn tour, I've said that I only want to go to new arenas, but I will definitely go back to Columbus. And I've said I'll go back to Nashville too, but I think I'll go back to Columbus before I go back to Nashville. Truly, I really, truly enjoyed Columbus so much. So I know we're almost an hour into the show, but you know, so I did get a sweater at Nationwide. If you saw my Instagram, which I think you did, you knew that I had a Columbus sweater. And listen, for the amount of money that I paid for this sweater, I could have got probably 6 or 7 from China. But again, I was so invested in Nationwide and the Blue Jackets that I was like, you know what? I'm going to give them my money. I want to support this club and I want to support this squad. So yeah, I overpaid, but I'm not mad about it at all.
Happy to do it, right? Yeah.
Go ahead and we can play the sweater game. I mean, you already know it's the Columbus Blue Jackets, but who?
Right.
Did I get?
So that's the question.
You can go ahead and play the game if you want to.
My guess is Razzle Dazzle. My guess is Johnston, because he's a guy that you come back to frequently. I can't imagine you get Johnny Hockey. I can't imagine. I mean, you were questioning everybody's Boone Jenner's. Boone, the only reason I could see you getting a Boone is because you like to get a C. You like to get the captain. And so, like, that might put him up there. But Johnston seems like the one for me. So is it Razzle Dazzle? Question mark?
Yeah, it's Razzle Dazzle. It's Razzle Dazzle.
Yeah. Ah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's so clean. It's so clean.
Damn it.
To those same points, watching Boone Jenner, my guy won every faceoff when it counted. Like, when they had the net pulled at the end of the third period in the offensive zone, he won every single faceoff. He got booted out of the one draws, and I forget who took it, but they lost it. And they, you know, Buffalo didn't score, but, you know, it wasted some time because they got it out of the zone and whatnot. But I have a new respect for Boone. Like, he 100% deserves to have the C. And we could have said this before coming up at the trade deadline, like, yeah, go get some assets for him. But he has said he doesn't want to leave Columbus. And I hope that they hold on to him because, like, again, a guy who can – a center that can win the faceoffs when that counts, what are we doing? You know what I mean? You got to hold on to guys like that because there's some guys in this league making a lot of money that can't win a faceoff to save their life. So yeah, I have a new respect for Boone. And, like, again, I would have gotten a Boone, but I really wanted that Razzle Dazzle, and I didn't really want to pay – you know, that much for a Boone. But again, I have new respect for Boone Jenner. Also, I definitely did think about the number 83 Marchenko, because that guy is he's already on his way, but he's going to be a superstar. I hope they hold on to him. Also, lower on the list, I would get a Voronkov, because he's a hell of a player. Same thing with Chinnikov, hell of a player. Speaking of Johnny Hockey was on my list to get before, but I'll tell you what, all Johnny Gaudreau does is skate in circles and do like quick stops and then skates around another circle and then loses the puck or makes a crappy pass. He is terrible. Absolutely terrible. Honestly, trade Johnny Gaudreau. He is not Johnny Hockey, or at least he was not when I was watching him here on Friday. Not good. Not good at all. Like, he literally did nothing, Justin.
Call out.
He skated around in circles and lost the puck. That's Johnny Hockey. You forgot the hockey part, buddy. This is me chirping you. I'm chirping you right now. Golly.
You forgot the hockey part.
You forgot the hockey part, bud. Jesus.
He remembered the Johnny part.
He remembered the Johnny part, but he didn't remember the hockey part. So, but yeah, so I got the Razzle Dazzle. All the sweaters in that shop were Adidas ones too right now. So
nice.
I was happy to see that. If it was Fanatics, I was not going to get it.
So I'll give a quick rundown.
So that was the 2024 Barn Tour.
Yeah. I'll give you a quick rundown here again of scores before we get on out of here. Cap 1, 14-30. PNC was unscored. PPG, 26-30. Bridgestone, 25-30. Florida Live, 25-30. Amelie, 21-30. United Center, 26-30. Little Caesars, 26-30. And a Nationwide, a perfect 30-30.
Stick taps to that.
Yeah. Love to see it. Love to see it.
Stick taps to that.
So we are literally right up against it. I'm going to give you my star is all in one. PWHL Toronto is on a heater, six straight for the girls. And last night they get a dub in big part to Sarah Nurse, who finally showed up on the offensive board. She gets her second and third goal last night, and including the game winner in overtime. And I mean, she's looked sharp at points in Toronto's games, and she's looked tough. I didn't realize she was such a tough player. Like, I've seen her get tossed around a little bit and get up and smile about it. But last night she scores two goals. PWHL Toronto gets their sixth win in a row. So stick tap to Sarah Nurse. You'll love to see a star start to live up to what they should be doing. So Sarah Nurse, love to see it.
Agreed. And I have chirped her on this show. And, you know, now that I'm thinking about it too, it was a short training camp and it's a short season. So I would bet that next season in a full season, she will be full-fledged, like what we've heard, the type of player that she is. I will put a stamp on that, timestamp on that. So, and my player before we get out of here, the rookie Quentin Byfield of the LA Kings, 56 games played, Justin, 18 goals, 26 assists, 44 points, plus 15. My guy has as many assists as PLD has points in two less games, by the way. So maybe pay Byfield $8 million and get PLD the out of here, because you suck, PLD. That's my chirp for you today. Justin's got to get out of here, and we as well. Next week, we'll be back to a regular setup and show. So you guys know what to do. We'll be here next week. Do the things. We appreciate it. Until then, play to the whistle and keep your head up, boys. Stick taps and sellies. Clap it up.
Clap it up and end the recording.